You play it.
Jayadadha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava Shri Radhe. Jaya Radha Shama Sunda Radha, Shama Sunda Shri Radhe. Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori. Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Shata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Vaishnav Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai Shri Guru and Gauranga Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Good morning again. We're back. And it's Nityananda Trayodashi. It's one of the most special days of the year for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This is really, for most of us, it's the day, because Nityananda Prabhu is the most merciful. And He overlooks practically everything, and he just wants people to chant Hare Krishna. He wants them to chant Gauranga and become completely immersed in love of God. So for many of us from the crazy backgrounds that we come from, this is our big chance. And actually, Nityananda Prabhu, he is very special to us even in reference to the Bhagavatam. Because as we all know, what is it? Oh, I'm forgetting the Bengali verse. Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Nityananda is Balaram. And if it weren't for Balaram going and killing Ramaharsha and Suta with a blade of grass, if he hadn't gone to Naimisharanya and seen all of the sages there and killed the father of Suta Goswami because of his arrogance, because he didn't rise when Balaram came into the assembly, if Balaram hadn't done that, we would not be hearing the Bhagavatam as it is now. Because Ramaharsha and Suta would have spoken something, but because Suta Goswami was placed on that seat, and Suta Goswami had gone and heard from Shukadev Goswami, we hear the Bhagavatam as it is now. So we can thank Nityananda Prabhu for doing that as Lord Balaram, going and removing Ramaharsha and Suta from the speaker's seat in Naimisharanya, and then placing Suta Goswami there. So in that way, we can now relish the Bhagavatam. So on that note, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam adhirayat nashta praesho badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishne swadam apagate dharma gyana divisaha kalo nashta drisham esha puranarko dunodita paramananda pataya Prema Varshakshadayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume. So today we're continuing the Govardhan Leela, the worshipping of Govardhan Hill, chapter 24 of Canto 10. And we're doing text 7 and 8, I believe, or 8 and 9. I can't remember. I think it's 8 and 9. Double check. Yes, 8 and 9. So number 9 is on the board. Number 8 is on the board. So we'll do number 8 responsibly. Sri Nanda Uvacha Parajanyo Bhagavan Indra Megastasyatma Murtaya Te bivarshanti bhutanam prinanam jivanam paya Shri Nanda uvacha parjanyo bhagavan indro meghastasyatma murtaya Te bivarshanti bhutanam Prinanam jivanam paya. Shri Nanda uvacha. Word for word. Sri Nanda Uvacha. Sri Nanda Maharaj said, Parajanyaha, the rain Bhagavan, the great Lord, Indraha, Indra, Megaha, the clouds, Tasya, his, Atma Murtayaha, personal representatives, Te, they, Abhivarshanti, directly give rain, Bhutanam, for all living entities. Prinanam, the gratification, Jivanam, the life-giving force, Payaha, like milk. In the translation, Nanda Maharaj replied, the great Lord Indra is the controller of the rain. The clouds are his personal representatives, and they directly provide rainwater, which gives happiness and sustenance to all creatures. And the quick purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Without clean rainwater, the earth could not possibly provide food or drink for anyone, nor could there be cleanliness. Thus, it would be difficult to overestimate the value of rain.
Garland is really cold.
You pulled that right out of the fridge?
It's like...
No, it's good. It's mercy. It's just... I started shivering. Now, text 9.
Tam tatavayam anyecha varmucham patimishvaram dravyaistad retasa siddhair yajante kratubir naraha.
Not only we, my dear son, but also many other men worship him, the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. We offer him grain and other paraphernalia of worship produced through his own discharge in the form of rain. And the purport? Nanda Maharaj patiently tried to explain the facts of life to his young son, Sri Krishna. But in fact, Nanda and all the residents of Vrindavan would learn an astonishing lesson as explained in this chapter.
Om Agyanati Minandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Ho. So I'll just reread the translations. Nanda Maharaj replied, the great Lord Indra is the controller of the rain. The clouds are his personal representatives, and they directly provide rainwater, which gives happiness and sustenance to all creatures. Not only we, my dear son, but also many other men worship him, the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. We offer him grain and other paraphernalia of worship produced through his own discharge in the form of rain. So,
Krishna has started asking questions because he's seeing this sacrifice beginning to unfold. He's seen Nandamaras speaking to all the brahmanas and bringing all the articles for worship and doing the yearly thing that they do. They're farmers, and so they worship the clouds. They worship the elements that allow for farming to go nicely, because this is Vedic culture. It's a culture of respect. And Krishna this time, because he's growing and he's becoming inquisitive, as Mother Krishna Archana told me the other day when I gave class, that actually eight to ten, somewhere around there, it's when the intelligence really clicks for young boys and girls, and they just start saying things that are unbelievable. Whereas before they were just kind of prattling, and you could see their thought process trying to form nicely in their speech. Now, all of a sudden, it's like you're speaking to an adult in some ways. You see really the wonderment of human intellect come out right at this age. And so what to speak of Krishna, who is the most brilliant of all brilliant beings? We can only imagine the things he began to say. And we hear some of them here because he starts being very inquisitive about the nature of this particular sacrifice and who it's for and how it should be done and if it's bona fide. Is this the right thing that you should do? He asked, is it Vedic tradition or is this just something that's coming down in the family? Where's this in the Shastra? He's asking his father. And so Nanda Maharaj, to the best of his ability, he's explaining to Krishna that this is something that we've always done, and it's very important for us because we're farmers. We pray to Bhagavan Indra, as he said in this verse. He said in verse 8, Bharajanya Bhagavan Indra, Indra, the great lord of the rain. Sometimes Bhagavan is used for, like, Bhagavan Narada. It's used to mean an exceptional person. So here Nanda Maharaj worships Vishnu. So he's not saying Bhagavan is the supreme lord, but he's saying he is very, very, very important, and we're offering our respects to him, because without the rain that he sends, we would have no life. Nothing would live, actually. But what to speak of other things? We're farmers, so we definitely would be finished very quickly, because our livelihood depends on Indra sending rain. So he's explaining this to Krishna. And Krishna, because it's his nature to be a little bit tricky, he keeps asking questions, and then he starts to speak really, really wild things. He starts to speak karma mimamsa philosophy. He starts to speak atheism. And he bewilders the Vrajavasis in such a way that they actually listen to him, because it's Krishna. If Krishna wants his way, somehow or other, he'll get it. But it begs a question, why? Why is Krishna doing this really, really wild thing that's propounded in this chapter? Why does he bewilder his father and all of the Vrajvasis and put them in such a crazy situation where Indra sends the Samvartika clouds to kill all of them? The Samvartika clouds, they're used at the end of this particular manifestation of the universe to destroy it. So Indra goes completely overkill. He gets so angry about this, and he tries to kill all of the Vrajvasis. Actually, he tells the Samvartika clouds to go, and he says, you go to Vrindavan, and you kill everyone, except for Nanda Maharaj. I will come and kill him after you kill everybody else. I want him to see everyone he loves die, and then I will come and kill him. This is the rage of Indra. The deep, deep anger that they've incited. So why did Krishna incite this? For what purpose? Why did he perform this wonderful pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill to protect them from that? Because it's not something that came of its own accord. Nobody sent this calamity, this difficulty into Vrindavan. Kamsa did not send a demon, you know, that incited Indra. It's not an external circumstance that he has to defend from. Anyway, he doesn't have to defend from any external circumstances, but we see with the other demons, it's Krishna, he's protecting Vraj, it's a Leela, but he's killing a demon because the demon came into Vraj. But with this circumstance, Krishna instigates the whole thing. He's doing it. He says, no, let's not do this. Let's worship Giriraj. And furthermore, why does he say, let's worship a hill? You know, why does he say, let's worship Giriraj Govardhan? It seems a little bit capricious. It seems a little bit capricious to such a degree that other bona fide Vaishnav Sampradayas particularly the Vallabha Sampradaya, they have difficulty accepting this as a part of the Bhagavatam. They say, no, maybe, no, must be an interpolation. So many things have been done with these literatures, and they're so old, and there are scribal errors. This chapter can't be part of the Bhagavatam. And they're a bona fide Sampradaya. They're a bona fide Sampradaya. Such is the amazingly confusing nature of this chapter and this pastime. So I'd like to explore that a little bit. Because for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is very, 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 very deep. Very, very important. Why Giriraj is so special. Why Krishna decided to lift Govardhan Hill. Why he brought Indra into Vrindavan. It's very, very important to understand why Krishna is doing all of this. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a particular feeling for Govardhan Hill. He saw a mountain of sand. It wasn't even a mountain. He saw a sand dune in Jagannath Puri. A big sand dune, but Chatak Parvat, at the end of the day, it's a big pile of sand. It doesn't look anything like Govardhan. And he saw that. And he was such in the consciousness of Vrindavan that he saw it as Govardhan Hill and he ran towards it. He would routinely leave the Gambira and they knew he must be near Chatak Parvat by the beach. And they would go. He wouldn't always be there, but many times he was there. And he would be in trance. Govardhan is such an important place for the Vaishnavas. And our Acharyas, they've explained why Govardhan is so important and why Giriraj, because Govardhan is not just a place. Govardhan is a person. Giriraj is a very, very, very special person for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But he's a bit mysterious. He's a bit enigmatic. If you ask different Vaishnavas, even if you go to Vrindavan and you ask, who is Govardhan? Who is this hill? They'll tell you many different things. The common tradition in Vrindavan is they call him Baba. They call him Baba. Like he's Baba, he's father. You go to him with your problems and you just ask him, please, you know, he'll help you. Anywhere, any village in Vraj, if you ask the villager who is Giriraj, they'll say he's Baba. And he will, there are many conceptions, but this is the overarching one. That you just go to Giriraj and you do parikram and you tell him what your problem is and then he'll fix your problem. It's a very simple, sweet conception. But what is the Gaudiya Vaishnav conception of who Giriraj is? Well, who should we ask? If we want to know what the Gaudiya Vaishnav conception is, who should we ask? Well, the best people I think that we could ask are the people who laid down Gaudiya Siddhanta for the world. Rupa Goswami, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, he established the Manubhishta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. And so he and his followers, the six Goswamis, because he's considered the head of the six Goswamis, they can most likely give us the best answer. And particularly, many of them, actually, Rupa Goswami has written ashtakas about Govardhan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who came later, wrote an ashtakam about Govardhan. Sanatana Goswami has glorified Govardhan. They've all written so many different things. Raghunath Das Goswami, though, has written one dashakam, which means 10 verses. It's a poem of 10 verses about Govardhan, which explains in exacting detail who Giriraj is and why he's so special to Krishna. It's very, very, very sweet. So if we ask Raghunath Das Goswami, because he leads by explaining why Krishna did this bewildering pastime. So if we ask him, we can look at his verses and he gives us the answers. So there's one beautiful verse, which is the beginning of it's a wordy name, the Govardhan Vasa Prarthana Dashakam. It's the 10 verses, or the prayer of 10 verses, praying for Govardhan Vas. Prarthana means prayer. It's a prayer to live near Govardhan by Raghunath Das Goswami. So every stanza ends with this beautiful line. Nija Nikatani Vasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. O Govardhan, please just let me live near you. All 10 verses, and then he gives reasons why he wants to live near Govardhan. Why Govardhan is the only place that he would prefer to stay, of all the places in the universe. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan, in giving commentary on this and unpacking it for us to help us understand it, he explains that these verses are actually a conversation that is happening between Raghunath Das Goswami and Giriraj Govardhan. So first, He says, Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. Oh, Govardhan, please let me stay near you. I want to stay near you. And then Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, he comments and he says, Giriraj then replies, why? It doesn't make any sense. Why do you want to stay near me? And then quick as a whip, Raghunatha Goswami, he says this line, Atula Pritula Shaila Shreni Bhupa Priyame. He says, of all the mountains in all the universe, Pritula Shaila Shreni, if you take all of them, all the mountains, all the Shailas, and you line them up in a big group, Pritula Shreni, you put them in a line, you are the king, Atula Bhupa. You are the incomparable king. There is no comparison to you. Of all the mountains in the world, in the universe, you are the king of mountains. And Giriraj says, what makes me the king? Flowery words are there, that's nice. It's nice what you're saying, but can you substantiate it? I'm a tiny, if you go to Vrindavan, Damodar, and you see Giriraj, I'm sure you've seen pictures, he's maybe at the biggest point, what, 80 meters high? He's a hill. We say Govardhan Hill. Prabhupada said Govardhan Hill many times. We don't really say Govardhan Mountain. When you say we're going to go to Govardhan Hill, he's a bit of a hill. So if you put him next to the Himalayas, because that's what Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, next to the Himalayas, next to the Loka Loka Mountain. The Loka Loka Mountain is the mountain in the center point between Loka and Aloka in the universe, when the oceans are divided up and everything, at the halfway mark, there's a giant mountain that's so tall, not even the sun can pass over it. The sun is only on the one side of it, and then the mountain blocks out the sun, and so on the other side, it's only darkness and no one lives there. So Giriraj is greater than the Loka Loka Mountain. You put him next to that mountain, and he's more wonderful, more amazing. He's an incomparable king next to that mountain. So Giriraj says, why? You're telling me this? There's so many other mountains. Even in Vraj, there are taller hills than me. If you want to stay in Vraj, there are taller hills than me. So why? And so Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, Nija pati buja dandach chatra bhavam prapadya pratihata madhadrishto danda devendra garva. The reason you're the most excellent of mountains, O Giriraj, is because Pratihata Mada Drishto Danda Devendra Garva. In order to completely destroy, to obliterate Pratihata, to obliterate the pride and the arrogance of Devendra, of Indra. Nijapati Bhuja Dandach Chatra Bhavam Prapadya. Your Lord, Krishna, Nijapati, your own Lord. We hear this, Nija Sarva Shaktis. Krishna has invested his own potencies. Nija means your own. So Nijapati, your own Lord, Nijapati Bhuja Dandach, he put his arm up like a rod, Bhuja Danda. His Bhuja was like a Danda. Chatra Bhavam Prapadye, and you took on a Chatra Bhav. You became like an umbrella. And he held you up in order to destroy the pride of Indra. This is why you are the best of mountains. Krishna did this with nobody else. Your Lord is also my Lord, he's saying. He's saying, you are so dear to Krishna, and that's why I want to stay near you. And I want to unpack this a little bit, because this, what Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us here, is very, very, very deep. Because he's juxtaposing the mood of Giriraj against the mood of Indra, because he uses some very descriptive words to explain the pride of Indra. He doesn't just say pride. He says, Pratihata Mada Drishta Udanda and Garva. He says four different things, which are all synonyms, to explain the pride of Indra. And later on in another verse, whereas he says Nijapati to explain Giriraj, he says your Lord. He calls Indra Surapati, the Lord. He uses Pati, the same word for Lord. He says Surapati, that Lord of the demigods. That person who considers himself the king. Surapati krita dirga drohato goshtaraksham. To protect the coward people and to obliterate the deep, deep envy of Indra. Krishna has lifted you up. So these four things that Raghunath Das Goswami has used to explain the pride of Indra. These are very, very important for us to understand because they're things that exist in the heart of every conditioned soul. That in order to become a nice devotee, because one beautiful realization that I've heard from a very, very nice Vaishnava on these prayers, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhana Tvam. The way that this line goes, because he's saying, please allow me to stay near you. Your, the residence near you, Govardhana Tvam. O Govardhan, you. Tvam means you. But if you break the Sandhi in a different way, he's saying, Govardhana Tva. Your nature, what makes you Govardhan, I want that. I want what you have, your love for Krishna. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Govardhan Ashtakam, he explains that if one does not worship Govardhan as a devotee, he cannot get the devotion which is in the heart of Giriraj. This is a negative statement that it implies the positive injunction that if you worship Giriraj in the proper mood, as the Acharyas have laid out, then Giriraj will give you the deep, deep love that he has for Krishna. You can get it from him. So what Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us here, he's juxtaposing the terrible attitude of Indra with the unbelievable devotion of Giriraj to show us that you have to give these things up in order to actually become a devotee. This is what Giriraj is telling us. So mada, the first one, we've all heard this word mada. It means intoxication. It means insanity in some cases. Pride, complete bewilderment, specifically that results from the ascertainment of wealth. There is practically no one richer in the universe than Indra. Indra owns everything. He is Surapati. He is Devendra. Kuvera is the god of wealth, and Indra is Kuvera's boss. He's his top dog. So he has everything, and he's intoxicated by that. He's so intoxicated by that that when Krishna goes to take the Parijata tree, Indra says no and tries to fight him. And this is after this Leela. He's so intoxicated by the wealth that he has. And he does so many things. He's intoxicated by his wealth, and so he offends his guru. He thinks, I'm sitting on my throne right now, and all the demigods are around, and his guru walks into the room, and he thinks, I'm in this position, I'll offer my obeisances to my guru later, but right now it's not so convenient, so he'll understand. And his guru leaves, and so many bad things happen to the demigods because of this. And an entire Leela unfolds. And then they have to do penance, and they have to eventually go and ask the Dichi Muni in order for them to kill Vritrasura. So much goes on because of Indra's pride, because of his bewilderment, because of his wealth and his position. Mada. Garva is the pride that results from that. Because he has all of that stuff, he is so prideful. And then Drishta. He's arrogant like anything. He disregards. What is that? Who was it? I believe it was Durvasa Muni who offered a garland to Indra, and Indra put it on his elephant. And Airavata, being a stupid elephant, threw the garland on the ground and stomped on it. And Indra was cursed again. More problems because of his arrogance. Oh, sage, very nice. It's good that you're good. I'm the king of heaven. It's good that, yeah, give it to my elephant. Drishta, arrogant. And Uddhanda, because of all these things, because he has this arrogance, this pride, he's bewildered and intoxicated by his wealth. He actually thinks he's fit to chastise. Uddhanda. Danda means a stick. Uddhanda means a raised stick. He thinks he can just crack. He has the thunderbolt that he got because of the Supreme Lord's mercy to kill Vritrasura. And with that thunderbolt, he goes around and chastise. He wields it. Ah, you won't listen to me? Uddhanda. So he's bewildered by all of this pride. And Krishna, the reason he's doing this, one of the reasons he's doing this entire pastime, is to completely obliterate that. Pratihata mudadrishto danda devendra garva. To remove this. And what is the best way to remove the pride from someone who is prideful? Is to embarrass them. You see, Indra, after he got his thunderbolt, mountains, they used to fly. It sounds wild, but mountains had wings, And they floated. And sometimes, because they're living entities, they would just whimsically decide to sit down. So they'd be flying and flying and flying, and then all of a sudden they just decide, this will be a comfortable place, and they would crush all the living entities underneath them. And so people were in anxiety. They were being tormented. My God, you know, what will we do? What will we do? How will we survive? How will we live? And so they went to Indra and they prayed, you please fix this problem. And so Indra, he took his Vajra and he cut all of the wings off of all of the mountains. And therefore we don't see flying mountains anymore. Mountains don't fly. Because Indra went and cut all of their wings. He did it easily. It was no problem. It's practically the most powerful weapon in the universe. So he just, none of you will move ever again. And so how did Krishna break his pride? Krishna didn't go and pick up the Himalaya. He didn't go and pick up the Loka Loka mountains. He went and he picked up Govardhan Hill. Materially speaking, a very, very small mountain. He picked him up. And so when Indra sent the Sambartika cloud to kill all the Vrajvasis because they stopped the sacrifice, he sent the Maruts, the wind devatas, who are his spies. He sent them to see. You report to me. How is it going over there? Are they all dead yet? And the Maruts came back and they said, yes, everything is finished. And Indra said, ah, very good. Can you go check again? Because this is the nature of somebody who's prideful and who's materially attached. There's a little anxiety always. You can never be so sure. The world teaches us that as soon as we think we're sure, we're a fool. So Indra sends them back again. And then they come back and they're shaking. The wind devatas are shaking because they're thinking, oh my God. Actually, none of them are dead. And they go to Indra and they tell him, please, sorry, we somehow misperceived it before, but none of the Vrajvasis are dead. None of them are even afraid. All of the rain is happening. The rain from the Samvartika clouds, every raindrop was like a pillar of rain. I don't know how wide that pillar was, whether it's this big or it's this, but every drop was like a horrendous pillar of rain. It's flooding like you can't imagine. And the wind devatas, they said, they're not even afraid. They're having a party. And interesting, where are they having? They're having a party. This doesn't make any sense. What are they doing? He said, well, there's a hill. There's a little mountain. And it's flying. And they're all underneath it. And so Indra, think, I'll fix this. I'll take care of this. If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. We've all heard that. So Indra went to go himself. A flying mountain? I'll fix this. I've fixed all the flying mountains. There are no more flying mountains because of me. And he went. And he couldn't cut Govardhan down. He couldn't stop that. So Krishna destroyed his pride by taking a seemingly insignificant mountain, by taking something that he thought he already accomplished and making it his undoing. He embarrassed Indra. Like anything, embarrassed him. Now this is all very nice, but it doesn't tell us so much about Giriraj. It just tells us about Krishna using Giriraj. And that's a wonderful thing. You become the instrument of the Lord, then you're wonderful. But does Giriraj have any more qualities? Is there anything more special about Giriraj than the fact that he was used by Krishna to smash the pride of Indra? Because we hear a lot of things about Giriraj. And so, it begs another question. The same question, actually. Who should we ask if we want to know in the Gaudiya Sampradaya about the preeminence of Giriraj? If we want to know why he's so special. Dominar, if you could ask anyone, if you could ask this question, why is Giriraj so special? Because it's a bit of an enigmatic question. He's an enigmatic personality. Who would you ask? Who's the best person to ask? Rupa Goswami. That's good. Okay, that's a good answer. Mother Krishnarchana, who would you ask? Who would you ask if you could ask anyone, why is Giriraj so special? Anyone. This means any personality who's ever existed, any devotee. Who would you ask? That's a good answer. That's a really, really good answer. Yes. The residents of Vrindavan. And amongst the residents of Vrindavan, for the Gaudiya Sampradaya, who are the highest? The gopis. So if we could ask the gopis, why is Giriraj so special? It sounds fantastic. But if we could ask the gopis, why is Giriraj so special? Would we ask? Yeah. Well, luckily, because the Bhagavatam tells us so many wonderful things and has given us so many words from so many of the Vrajvasis in the 10th canto. Actually, the gopis have answered this question. From their very mouths, this question has been answered. There's one beautiful verse that's very commonly used to worship Giriraj. In the 21st chapter, the Venu Gita, the glorification of Krishna's flute playing. It's also a glorification of all of Vrindavan. And then they start to talk about Krishna's flute. So this very, very nice verse, Hantaya Madhira Bala Haridasa Varyo Yatrama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayastayoryat Pani Yasuya Vasakandara Kandamulai. They explain how amazingly fortunate Giriraj Govardhan is. They say, Hanta Ayam Adrir Abala Haridasa Varyo. Oh girls, one gopi is saying, oh friends, just see this mountain, this hill. He's so fortunate. He's so fortunate. Yat Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda. And look how happy he is. All of the trees and the grasses, they're standing on end. His hairs are standing on end because of the touch of Krishna and Ram's lotus feet. Because every day they go there and they walk on him while they tend the cows. Manam tanoti sahago ganayostayoryad pani yasuya vasakandarakandamulai. And he offers everything. He offers water, waterfalls, caves, roots, fruits, anything the Vrajvasis could ask, anything Krishna could want, Giriraj gives. Giriraj is always serving the devotees. He's serving the Vrajvasis in ways no one else can serve the Vrajvasis. It's amazing the service he does. And therefore, they say, Haridasa Varya. Varya means the best. There are three Haridasas, servants of Lord Hari, that are specifically stated in the Bhagavatam. One is King Yudhishthir. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, he is mentioned as Haridas. The second one is Uddhava. When he goes to Vrindavan, Krishna says, Haridas, he's my devotee. And this, Giriraj Govardhan, this verse which is spoken by the gopis, he's called Haridasa Varya, the best of the Haridasas. Better than Uddhava, better than Yudhishthir. He's the best of the servants of Krishna. And to come back to the question of who would you ask, if you could ask a gopi, which gopi would you ask? That's an easy question for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We would ask Srimati Radharani. Well, Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Govardhan Vasa Prarthana Dashakam, he explains, Giri Nipa Haridasa Vardhya, Giri Nipa Haridasa Shreni Vardhyeti Nama, Mritam Uditam Idham Sri Radhika Vaktra Chandra. That this verse, this Hantaya Madhira Bala Haridasa Vardhya, that names Krishna, sorry, that names Giriraj as the best of Krishna's devotees. It was spoken from the lotus mouth of Srimati Radharani. This is his realization. And this is Raghunath Das Goswami. He's an associate of Srimati Radharani. He can say these things. He said, she has said this. She has said that Giriraj is the best devotee of Krishna. Because he serves everyone. He serves all of the Vrajvasis, everything they could want. If you go to Vrindavan now, all of the monkeys take shelter of Giriraj. It's not just the people that we think of when we say Vrajvasi. It's not just the residents of Vrindavan that live in Krishna's village or that are the people that are in the Goshta Raksha, you know, that are protected by Krishna and that herd the cows. Everyone, the birds, the trees, the monkeys, the dacoits, classically dacoits, would sleep around Govardhan and they would hide in the caves. And there are so many local stories. Giriraj gives shelter with no consideration. He just shelters those who stay in Vraj. Because that's what he wants to do. Actually, Giriraj is Krishna. Krishna will say later in the Bhagavatam, he will say, Shailo Smi. When he manifests this amazing, bewildering thing where Giriraj takes a form and then he actually eats everything and all of this really amazing pastime. He says, Shailo Smi, I am that hill. It adds to the confusion. So we should understand, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is God, he is Krishna. But he's Krishna with the bhav of a devotee. He wants to be a devotee. He wants to experience what it's like to be a devotee. Giriraj is Krishna with the bhav of Hari Das. He wants to serve. That's his only goal. His only aim in life is to serve Krishna's devotees. And therefore, Srimati Radharani has said, Hari Das Varya. Hantaya Manjarabala Hari Das Varya. He's the best devotee of Krishna. And so therefore, to show this, to juxtapose this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful quality of Giriraj's devotion and his seva against the deep, deep pride which is rooted in the very root of anti-devotional sentiment in aham mameti, I and mine. He's shown this pastime of smashing Indra's pride and revealing the wonderful nature of Giriraj. Because he also tells Nanda Maharaj, everything comes from Giriraj. We should worship Giriraj because we actually live because Giriraj serves us. Because he gives us everything, so we should offer him something back. And it brings another question, which we can't address today. But why are Krishna's devotees so worshipable? Why are they so amazing? Why does Krishna take a form as Giriraj Govardhan, in order to offer service to the devotees? Why is that such a desirable thing for him? So we can't answer that now. But it's another chapter that this Leela tells us. So I'll stop there. If there was anything nice here, then it's my gurus. If there was anything bad, please correct it. Because what to do? We're just trying to be like parents.
So I like that you clarified the point or explained the point that, because it's always been my understanding that Govardhan is Krishna, but then we also know that he's also a devotee. So I was like, all right, well, how's that happen? But actually kind of, it's very apropos because it kind of ties into Nityananda Prabhu as well, who's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, but who's also being a devotee as well. So Govardhan, so you mentioned earlier that it's advised by the Goswamis to pray to Govardhan because he can give you that mood and that devotion that he has for Krishna. And then in the same way, Nityananda Prabhu, one of the names of Nityananda is Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu, so he's someone that gives Krishna Prema. So it's also been my understanding that Krishna isn't the one who necessarily gives love of Krishna to somebody.
Yes.
But then we see that Govardhan and Nityananda, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are giving Krishna prema. So what's your take on that? You know, it seems like it's conflicting sort of thing that it is Krishna, but Krishna doesn't give Krishna prema, but he does when he's in the mood of a devotee.
That's a good question. Well,
it's kind of a bewildering topic.
Ultimately, it is Krishna who finally gives prema, but it comes through the medium of a devotee and it can't be initiated any other way than by a devotee starting your devotional path. So in the same way, you can't just walk in the door and approach Nityananda Prabhu and have him reciprocate with you and you start your path on bhakti. Nityananda Prabhu will send you a devotee who you will talk to, and that person will start your devotional life. Same thing with Giriraj. If you go, the thing is the entirety of the Vedas, not just Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the entirety of the Vedas is based on the principle of mandatory shelter. Even the Karmakandis, the Vedas are set up in such a way that they're protected by the fact that they're taking shelter of a process in the Vedas. And part of the integral, one of the integral pieces of taking shelter is having a guru. So one must have a guide to do anything Vedic. There is no part of the Vedas that you can just say, yes, I'm doing this on my own. The beginning of any tradition that's a bona fide Vedic tradition, whether it be Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upasanakanda, whether it be bhakti, it means taking shelter of a guru, taking shelter of a guide. Otherwise, nothing will bear fruit. So in the same way, though they come, it's a little bit of a nuanced understanding, because Nityananda Prabhu and Giriraj, one, they're not giving different things, but they're giving in different ways. Giriraj, he gives to those who pray to him, who have a conception and are already in the Sampradaya. They're connected, and now they're asking for something deeper. They're taking shelter. How do you know any of this if you don't read the books of the Goswamis, if you don't read the books of Srila Prabhupada? Then you can, you'll just see a mountain. You'll go to Vraj and you'll speak to the people there and they'll tell you, oh, he is the absolute truth. He's Brahman in the form of a hill. He's Baba. And you just go to him when you have a problem and do parikram. You'll get so many conceptions, but you won't get the conception of, oh, he has prema in his heart, and if you pray to him, he can give it to you because he's the best devotee. That's a very specific thing that's given by the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So the very fact that you know that, because as Krishna says, yayatamam prapadyante, I reciprocate with people according to the way they worship me. If you're doing that, it's because you learned it from someone, because you got it from somewhere. And to the degree that you're taking shelter of that person, to the degree that thing can actually bear fruit. With Nityananda Prabhu, he's giving prema completely, what's the word, unabashedly, but he's doing it through the Sankirtan movement. He's doing it through the bona fide devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's doing it through his bona fide devotees. So it's like that. No contradiction. The Bhagavatam says, Muktim didati karichit smana bhakti yogam. Krishna gives bhukti, he gives mukti, he gives siddhi, but he doesn't give bhakti. But what this means is he doesn't give bhakti to somebody who approaches him whimsically. Just like in the Adi Purana, he says, those who worship me, they're not my devotees. Full stop. Those who worship me are not my devotees. Those who worship my devotees are my devotees. He's saying, parampara must be there. You have to be dedicated to one of my devotees, and then I'll see you. Just like any rich person, any famous person, they have so many people that want to see them just because they're special and they have money. If they just saw everyone, there would be a line all the time. And oh yes, I have this proposition, and you know we can do this thing. I want to be your friend. Let's just hang out. So they have to filter. And how do they filter? Through their friends. You become a friend of somebody who's already their friend, and then they'll see you and they'll say, oh, you're Jim's friend? Huh, I really like Jim. Maybe you're a cool guy. And then maybe you can have a relationship with them. Krishna is like this. You have to approach a devotee, which ultimately culminates in you have to approach a Vajrasi, as Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Ideally, we should approach a guru who is very, very, very advanced, who's a Vajrasi already in his conception. What we sing these prayers every morning. We shouldn't just sing them like parrots. We should understand what they mean. Tulsi Puja, what Prabhupada has given us in Tulsi Puja is very specific and very, 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 very deep. So deep that most people just gloss right over it. In the beginning, you're just like, well, I don't really know what that means, so, all right. And then 5 or 10 years later, they're like, oh, wait a second, yeah. Prabhupada gave the cream right in the very beginning. He gave dessert first. You walk into the temple, why are they circumambulating this little plant? This is weird. But then you realize, whoa, Tulsi Devi. Actually, it's amazing. I'll give one last thing. Sorry, I'm running on a tangent, but it's such a wonderful topic. Giriraj and Tulsi Maharani, because they are Nityananda Prabhu, we see his murti, his archa vigraha, He's mercifully come in that form so that we can offer some service to him. But Giriraj and Tulsi are very special because they've taken an even more, I don't know what adjective to use, not real, but tangible Murti. Tulsi Maharani is a living entity sitting right in front of you. Giriraj, he's a hill, he's there. You're not worshipping a model of Giriraj's hill. It's actually Giriraj. And so our acharyas, they say, if somehow or other you've scoured the planet and you cannot find an Uttamadikari to take shelter of, you have Tulsi Maharani and you have Giriraj. Now that's not to say there are many, many, many wonderful deep devotees. And I would say anyone who says, I can't find any pure devotees, or I can't find any deep devotees, is a fool. But anyway, our acharyas have said, if somehow you can't find anyone, you have these two pure devotees to take shelter of. But that doesn't mean initiation. You still have to take a guru. Again, this is for somebody who's in the Sampradaya and who's looking for further shiksha, further guidance. If you sit down and do bhajan next to Govardhan, answers will come into your life. Maybe a person will come into your life. Something will happen. This is the... Because Giriraj gives shelter to everyone. He gives shelter to everyone. So we have 3 minutes. If there's anything else, we can continue or we can stop. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Kishore Kishore ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Shri Shri Ghornitai ki jai. Shri Nityananda Trayodasi Mahotsav ki jai. Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Giriraj Govardhan ki jai.
I only later realized there was in fact a garland here the whole time.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was here. But it was outside of my field of vision. So I guess that way it just kind of woke you up.
If you want to throw a second one on me.
What's that?
Nothing.
You want it? Second one?
I don't know. Maybe. Some.
Oh.